Good morning. First of all, to Arnab Goswami, the nation finally knows what it is that is on his mind. But speaking of reading minds, if people were anticipating or fearing a wave of Modi, well, we've got more and then some. It has been a tsunami. And like every major natural phenomena, this one is bound to take some and then leave some. On one side, with great power comes great responsibility. But if history has taught us, it's one thing that when great power is concentrated, it typically leads to reinvention of the past, present and the future. Now, with a mandate this big, India stands at the cusp of the dismantling of the secular state as we know it and its reinvention as a Hindu Rashtra, a Hindu theocratic state. But the good thing is, the entire ownership of the result is now on voters who have elected this Prime Minister again. As one Twitter user, Varad Khan, put it, you do not get to claim you voted against corruption. BJP institutionalized corruption through electoral bonds. You do not get to claim you voted for nationalism over terrorism. BJP has now sent a terror accused to parliament. FYI, Pakistan roundly defeated Hafiz Saeed's party in the 2018 elections. You do not get to lay the blame of any future lynchings or riots on fringe elements of the party. The fringe is the party. BJP is the party of Pragya Thakur and Yogi Adityanath. You will probably claim that you voted for a strong leader. I will dispute that, but that's okay. We are going to need a strong leader to confront multiple crises on jobs, agriculture, economy, Kashmir policy, an aggressive China, a US wanting to strangle Iran further. Keep your eyes open to see if any strong leadership is exhibited in any of these crises. Or if instead the party uses religion to cover up its shortfalls on all these fronts. You own that result, because they've done it once and you've given them another chance. In 2014, when BJP won, I hoped that in spite of my political differences, the party would govern India well. In 2019, I shudder to think how the government will extend its past performance through this new tenure. Well, nothing sums up this election better than Pragya Thakur winning and Aatishi Marlena losing. What else is there? Well, lots actually. While it is true a person accused of terrorism and deep-rooted Islamophobia will be making laws for India, while Aatishi, the woman who gave hope for education to masses, lost. Well, just says it all that only education that India wants right now is a lesson in Hindutva. Meanwhile, many losers, and while Mamata Banerjee may say the all losers are not losers, well, she's a poet after all, the good thing is that there were many losers and it speaks volume. I'm not just talking about Rahul Gandhi losing from Amethi, Gehlot loss in Rajasthan speaks a lot, or Sindhya and Digvijay Singh losing in MP while Kamal Nath ensuring his son sails through, but also of the Gowdas, Chandrababu Naidu and KCR. The good thing is Mayawati suffered a humiliating defeat. Was supposed to be a kingmaker, she could not even keep her flock from voting Modi. Is she done? Congress would really hope so. So just like it will hope that now with SP and BSP and even Arvind Kejriwal's AAP having lost its entire base to Modi Shah, Priyanka Gandhi will revive the North. What about KCR? Well, the regional arrogance has been crushed and it is a great thing. For Rahul, winning Bayanad clearly means they knew this was coming. So we will now see Rahul commandeering the South. Whatever you say, he is here to stay. Was it all bad? No. There were many stories that they may have gotten missed, like the big headline from Maharashtra, where AIMIM will be bringing in a second MP in Lok Sabha after Imtiaz Jaleel defeated four-time Shiv Sena MP Chandrakant Khaire from Aurangabad seat, or that Sabarimala did not work in Kerala as the most educated state did not give inroads for the bloom that the Lotus Party was looking for. But the good thing is, it's all out in the open. No mask required anymore. The PM in his acceptance speech has said a lot of how he will take everyone along, etc., etc. What now needs to be seen is whether the words will be true or will it be like we had it 5 years back. Jumlas. Because both you and me know, no one really changes. Or do they? Well, India will know in the coming days, but one thing is for sure, congratulations need to go out to two special entities. One, Amit Shah, and secondly, RSS, without whom the resounding success and a dream that started as an idea more than 70 years ago could not have been seen near completion. Meanwhile, voters in Odisha defied the nationwide Narendra Modi wave for the second straight time and engaging in tactical voting in the simultaneous Lok Sabha and Assembly polls in the state. BJD Supremo Naveen Patnaik is set to embark on a fifth consecutive term as Chief Minister. The regional party's enviable electoral success in the Assembly polls, as was apparent from the trends in counting of votes by Thursday afternoon, has put the 72-year-old Patnaik firmly on the path to join the ranks of Sikkim Chief Minister Pawan Chamling and former West Bengal Chief Minister Jyoti Basu, who hold the record for being India's longest-serving Chief Ministers. Chamling, 69-year-old, has been Chief Minister of Sikkim continuously for the past 25 years. In April 2018, he surpassed the record of India's longest-serving Chief Minister set by Jyoti Basu, who remained the Chief Minister of West Bengal for 23 years from June 1977 to November 2000, before handing over charge to Buddhadev Bhattacharji. Now, Naveen Patnaik is on his way to the rare league in Indian politics. Meanwhile, SDF's loss also ends Chamling's reign as the longest-serving Chief Minister in India. The Sikkim Krantikari Morcha, or the SKM, is set to create history and form the government in Sikkim after it won 17 of the 32 assembly seats in the results declared yesterday. The SKM has ousted Pawan Chamling-led SDF party, which was in power in Sikkim for five consecutive terms since 1994. Well, lots of international congratulations have been flowing down PM's way, and rightly so, he deserved every call. Let's head to international news, where President Donald Trump said on Thursday that US complaints against Huawei technologies might be resolved within the framework of a US-China trade deal, while at the same time calling the Chinese telecommunications giant very dangerous. And the US Justice Department has filed 17 new charges against WikiLeaks co-founder Julian Assange, who is facing extradition from the UK. The latest charges accuse him of receiving and unlawfully publishing the names of classified sources. That is pretty much all that I have for you for today. In case you were wondering, how will Modi bring the economy on the right track? Well, take from the rich and give to the poor is always a good way, even in Mexico. Dozens of luxury cars seized from sticky-fingered politicians and mobsters will go under the hammer this weekend as part of a populist anti-corruption crusade being waged by Mexico's leftist president. Andrés Manuel López Obrador has vowed that proceeds from Sunday's auction will be channeled into social programs and deprived communities. See you again on Monday. Don't worry, we shall still continue and grow from here. All we need is your continued support. Thank you for listening, and here is to chronicling another 5 years. Goodbye from TakePart.in.